This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section and headlines from the lead section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 23rd, 2020. Today's John Lothian newsletter leads off with a story from Tom Thompson titled USA versus Vorley and Chenu, DOJ looking for conviction against spoofers. Here's the start of the story. On Tuesday, the defense finished cross-examining the FBI special agent. The prosecution rested its case. Defense declined to offer witnesses. Prosecution made its closing arguments. Defense made its closing arguments. Judge Thorpe instructed the jury, and the jury began deliberating the fates of James Vorley and Cedric Chenu. The two were co-workers on the precious metals trading desk of Deutsche Bank in London, where they were alleged to have spoofed the COMEX silver and gold markets from 2008 to 2013. A third junior trader, David Liu, pleaded guilty 2 years ago. Vorley and Chenu did not offer any testimony during the trial. The bank settled related charges with the CFTC in 2018, accepting a $30 million penalty. Missing evidence. During the closing arguments Tuesday, Vorley's attorney Roger Burlingame asked repeatedly where all the evidence was against his clients. Burlingame is a familiar presence in the Dirksen courthouse, having recently defended London spoofer Navandar Sarau, getting him a sweetheart time-served house arrest sentence last year. As an example of missing evidence, prosecution witnesses established that there were video and voice recordings of interviews of their star witness, David Liu, that were not offered in evidence. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. The Financial Markets Group at the Chicago Federal Reserve has published their second episode of the LaSalle Street podcast series. This episode focuses on what the pandemic is teaching us about CCP risk management. Roland Chai, Chief Risk Officer of NASDAQ, and John J. Fennell, Chief Risk Officer of the Options Clearing Corp, joined Ketan Patel, Policy Advisor and Head of Financial Markets Risk Analysis in the Chicago Federal Reserve's Financial Markets Group. They discussed market issues ranging from operational risks at central clearing counterparties during the pandemic to climate change, work-from-home arrangements, and the biggest risks ahead in 2020. Brian Mehta, the CMO of Trading Technologies, has an interview on the TT blog titled Five Questions with John Regan, CEO of Philip Capital UK. Don't miss the webinar from the FIA titled The Impending EU CCP Recovery and Resolution Regime and Its Impact on EU and Non-EU Firms, tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 11 Eastern Time. The OCC has a white paper out on OCC issues paper on central clearinghouse resiliency and stability. Jill Summers and Paul Atkins of Potomac Global Partners have a commentary out titled Central Counterparty Clearing, a new white paper serves as a useful foundation for the ongoing regulatory dialogue. It is a comment on the OCC's white paper. See johnlothiannews.com and today's JLN for links for these white papers. Suzanne Cosgrove shared this in Hits and Takes. A closely followed lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court on behalf of more than 70 plaintiffs who were shut out of Illinois' lottery to win new social equity cannabis dispensary licenses was abruptly pulled on Tuesday morning. The action followed the announcement late Monday of a do-over of the controversial application process by Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. According to a press release from the state, the IDFPR will now ensure that those who did not get a maximum score of 252 points on their license applications receive a supplemental deficiency notice and a score sheet identifying where they lost points. They will then be given the opportunity to amend the application or ask for the original to be rescored if they think there was an error. Many applicants who did not make the final round of the process complained bitterly about scoring inconsistencies by KPMG, the accounting firm hired to do the scoring. John Lovey, attorney for the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, South Shore Restore and Heartland Green versus Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulations, Brett Bender, deputy director, said in a statement that the governor heard the people's complaints about the concerns about the scoring process, and he listened to those complaints and he made appropriate fixes. The drop lawsuit was the largest one filed after the state released the names of 21 finalists with perfect application scores for the 75 licenses on September 3rd. But a handful of additional complaints are still pending. The state did not provide a new date for the Illinois lottery pick for those winners. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Crane Chicago Business has a story titled, "The chiefs of CBOE and CME have a warning for City Hall. We are no longer four walls with a trading floor," said CME Group CEO Terry Duffy, cautioning that if the city taxes financial transactions, the exchanges could pick up and leave. City officials seeking revenue to help fill a gaping hole in the 2021 budget got a strong warning from the heads of two U.S. financial exchanges based in Chicago. "Don't touch LaSalle Street," CME Group CEO and Chairman Terry Duffy and CBOE Chairman and CEO Ed Tilley testified at a virtual Chicago City Council hearing today, telling aldermen if they pursue a tax on the exchange's financial transactions, both companies could pick up and leave the city. We missed this story from the 21st, but it reiterates what I wrote previously. The exchanges are looking at moving and have many reasons to do so, not just the threat of new taxes. The progressive income tax proposal Illinois is going to vote on will also impact the executives of the exchanges and their incomes. A nice no-income tax state like Florida looks pretty inviting. Bloomberg has a story titled "LIBOR and NEARS." ISDA awaits final approval, launching LIBOR protocols. The discredited benchmark is due to expire at the end of 2021. Banks and money managers will be able to take a major step away from LIBOR in early 2021 in a move that could affect hundreds of trillions of dollars in derivatives contracts. The International Swaps and Derivatives Association, or ISDA, the global trade group for the industry, said plans to transition from the benchmark are awaiting sign-off from the U.S. Justice Department and the global competition authorities and could become effective in the second half of January. Bourne Technology announced its streamlined trade data analytics with the release of CrossCheck 2. The update advances the performance and functionality of the company's unique trade data integration platform. Bourne Tech, a software solutions provider for trade data analysis and reporting, today announced the release of CrossCheck 2, CC2, a wholly reimagined version of its groundbreaking platform, CrossCheck. The new platform is available to the public today. CC2 empowers our customers to harness the power of the data at their fingertips. Bloomberg reports that Notre Dame canceled its Wake Forest game due to new COVID cases. 7 student athletes were positive after testing on Monday. A total of 13 are in isolation, with 10 in quarantine. The University of Notre Dame canceled Saturday's football game against Wake Forest after 7 student athletes tested positive for COVID-19. In total, 13 players are in isolation because of the virus, the school said in a statement issued Tuesday. From Business Insider, a new startup is recruiting gig workers to help landlords evict people from their homes, calling it the fastest growing money-making gig because of COVID-19. Millions of Americans have fallen behind on rent amid economic turmoil caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, and many could face evictions. One startup is treating the dire situation as a money-making opportunity for gig workers. The company, Civi, is recruiting freelancers to sign up as eviction crews for landlords, calling it the fastest growing money-making gig due to COVID-19. Here are the headlines from today's lead section of JLN. From the FT, Singapore and India exchanges end dispute over derivatives. Asian bourses will launch TradingLink after calling time on long-running legal tussle. From the Wall Street Journal, CME NASDAQ to launch water futures contract. Market will be the first of its kind for world's most crucial commodity, organizers say. Also from the Wall Street Journal, stock exchanges present opportunity as volumes surge. Shares of American exchange operators have mostly performed well this year, especially compared to other financials. Here are some more stories from Bloomberg. New Jersey's Wall Street tax plan will backfire. Estimates of the amount of revenue the state hopes to raise are probably too optimistic. Boris Johnson's policies have bolstered Scotland's nationalists. His handling of COVID-19 and Brexit has increased calls for another referendum on independence. A 32-year-old finance tycoon looms in obscure stock market. BNP shuts Swiss commodity trade finance team amid frauds. Russia's dominance of the wheat world keeps growing. UBS says it's hard to sustain culture working at home. Here's a story from the South China Morning Post. Rival or partner? Shenzhen turns 40 with busiest stock exchange eclipsing Hong Kong, Tokyo, Seoul. While about the same number of companies got listed in Shenzhen and Hong Kong since 1990, IPO proceeds were 5.5 times higher in Hong Kong. Some of Shenzhen and Hong Kong markets may be larger than the value of each individual strength, advisor Neo says. Here are more stories from the Financial Times. Citigroup halts market making and retail options. Closure of business is the latest sign of computer-driven rivals forcing out Wall Street banks. Jay Powell is not alone in thinking small business needs support. U.S. recovery will never come until the companies that account for most jobs get back on their feet. Jet-fueled white van man bodes ill for oil market. Overcapacity in refinery and demand hit by coronavirus make for grim mix. BMO to follow Vanguard and exit Hong Kong's ETF market. Canadian asset manager has struggled to raise substantial assets in any of its ETF strategies. Here are more stories from the Wall Street Journal. Uncle Ben's changes brand rooted in racist imagery. Now it's Ben's Original. Mars is one of a handful of food companies that are reviewing or changing branding on its products. What CEOs really think about remote work? Top executives at Netflix, BlackRock, and other companies weigh in on at-home arrangements, office reopenings, and the future of work. Here is a story from the New York Times. Dust off desks and boot up terminals. Wall Street returns fitfully. New York's finance industry is beginning to reoccupy offices in fits and starts, impeded by uncertainty around the virus. Here are some stories from Reuters. Muddy Waters, Carson Block to roll out internet TV channel for short selling. Exclusive U.S. regulator to relax proposed whistleblower caps, tighter tip deadlines, say sources. Here are the three most read stories from yesterday's JLN. The most read story Tuesday was Yahoo News Senator Kelly Loeffler roasted for ad saying she's more conservative than Attila the Hun. Second was the New York Post hedge fund Bridgewater to set up tent offices in the woods to beat COVID-19. Third was Bloomberg's Wall Street commodity traders head for best year in a decade. Here are the Markets Wiki stats for today. The site has 188,572,593 pages viewed, with 24,432 total pages and 226,085 edits. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.